One weekend, when I was a child visiting my grandparents in upstate New York, my grandmother gave me a yellow Stono notepad to occupy me. Something about that very adult notebook being mine unleashed a flurry of creative inspiration, and I wrote my first short story. It was about a young girl named Mary, and it was called Mary Story. Not possessive, just Mary Story, and I had planned sequels. Mary was everything that I, as an 8-year-old, was striving to be. Gentle, calm, deferential to her mother, a reader of John Steinbeck for some reason, and very important to me, blonde. In my story, Mary manages to turn a country village full of rambunctious and teasing children into a utopia whose only conflict is a flower-picking contest to see who can pick the most wildflowers, and the loser is still carried upon the other children's shoulders. I wrote a lot after Mary's story, and these stories had significantly more well-rounded characters. I wrote poems about how I felt destined for greatness. I read voraciously about other writers. My love of writing inspired me to take up other creative outlets, too. I began playing the flute, spending an agonizing 20 minutes a day at first, making harsh, rasping sounds and slamming my fingers down awkwardly over the keys. But I grew to love it because I got good at it, and I loved being good at it. I also acted in community theater, in musicals at school. I loved getting to shapeshift, pretending for hours that I was someone other than myself. Someone worldly, someone pure, someone with a love interest. I loved it. I loved everything about making art. Everything except performing. When it came time to audition for a show, or stand up to give a reading, or God forbid, play my flute at my recital, I panicked. I broke out in hives. I shook. My mouth went dry. I'd enjoyed everything up to the point where I had to prove that I was good at this. I actually won a competition to play a concerto with the West Point Military Band. And the piece that I was performing was supposed to take like 11 minutes, and I did it in 7. To my left as I played, I could see the conductor wildly working to keep up with me. And I listened to the recording afterwards, and it sounds frantic. And I was embarrassed and discouraged. I had worked so hard, and I felt like I'd failed. This thing that had brought me so much joy in my youth, art, music, was now bringing me a lot of anguish. As I reached higher and higher heights in my creative pursuits, the circles I ran in had become more competitive and more anxiety-provoking. It wasn't fun anymore. I didn't want to keep pursuing this life that would always involve something as terrifying as getting up in front of a group of people and failing. When I was fortunate enough to go away to college, I didn't have my old band and theater and poetry friends anymore. There was no social motivation to keep going. I needed to get a job to keep myself afloat and support my family. And it hit me that there was a simple solution to my performance anxiety. I could just choose not to perform anymore. So I stopped. I dropped out of band, out of my music program, even out of my creative writing program. And eventually I stopped making art altogether. The longer I went, the more I lost any ability to let go, to take creative risks, to look foolish. And as my skills atrophied, I started questioning whether I ever really was an artist. This magic of creation, a gift I thought was mine, started to seem like it was better held in other people's hands. Maybe this gift was never really mine to begin with. I've been attending St. Lydia's for almost a decade now. And a few years back, I started to miss making music. I wondered if I might actually enjoy song leading at my dear church. So I attended a song leading workshop led by our very own Jake and Angela. It didn't feel all that loaded going in, but boy, it felt like something when I got there. If you've never met or interacted with Jake or Angela, they're these very sweet, encouraging, non-judgmental, lovely people. They explain in the workshop that being a song leader is not about being a good singer. It's about being welcoming. And this went way over my head. Their gentle and unconditional regard for all of us in the workshop, trying to figure out how to coordinate our bodies and voices, just destroyed me. The atmosphere of mercy and graciousness, of being in this together, of okayness with trying something new and not being good at it, I couldn't accept that this mercy was available for me. I sat there in the workshop and cried silent tears and tried to act like I wasn't crying. I really sat there through the whole entire thing, pretending it wasn't happening. It was awful. I walked away from that workshop totally humiliated and absolutely certain that I would never solve it. And I didn't for years. So maybe a year ago, I surprised myself by attending another song leading workshop. I think it was probably at the gently encouraging behest of Debbie. But this time I prepared myself by being absolutely terrified going in. And then it was done. And I hadn't cried. And it was kind of fun. I think that the first time I song led was actually at a Maundy Thursday service, which was nice because there wasn't as much music to learn. And then I think that maybe I co-led with someone. And then I song led on my own. And I did it again and again. And I realized I was not going to be great at this. I was scared. I was awkward. I had trouble figuring out how to arrange my body and where to point. I kind of came to accept that when I song led, I was not going to live up to my expectations of what it meant to be good at it. But every week, St. Lydia's really needed a song leader. So I figured that meant we needed even not great song leaders. When I looked at the passage for tonight, I saw at first a list of spiritual gifts: knowledge, prophecy, healing. You can see Paul describing a community of each ones. Individuals with their own different skills who are in conflict. He's trying to promote unity by showing them how all their gifts have the same source, the Holy Spirit. I read some commentary that broke down the distinctions between these gifts and emphasized the diversity of spirituality. But as I sat with the passage, I found myself meditating not on diversity or conflict resolution, but on the picture of community as a whole, complete thing. Knowing and telling, healing and making. These are different and individually lovely strands, but woven together, they make a transcendent tapestry. Our attention is not on an individual glowing thread because we're immersed in the beauty of the whole, a community illuminated by spirit. It's bigger than its parts, and everything we need is already here. Every week that I'm going to song lead, I get anxious. Song leading does not come easily to me, even though I've done it a bunch of times. I get clammy palms, I'm guzzling water, I wear extra deodorant because I'm a very anxious sweater. And every week, as soon as I'm singing, I'm caught up in what we're making together, like rain disappearing into water. When we make church, we rest in something larger than ourselves, in community, in spirit. So when I song lead, I'm not bringing an individual gift of music. What I bring is the gift of showing up as myself. When I song lead, I bring the gift of vulnerability. I welcome and accept my insecurities. I listen, and I'm attuned, and sometimes my voice cracks. And it's all fine because the beauty isn't being made by me. When I song lead, all I'm really offering is my presence, which is what any one of us have to offer. So, maybe you don't think of yourself as having a gift of music. You're not a singer or musician. Maybe you think you have other gifts like nurturing or organizing or hospitality. My invitation tonight then is this. Maybe the gift of hospitality is exactly the gift of a song leader. Maybe you showing up as you are, being brave enough to risk imperfection, is exactly what someone else needs to feel safe and welcome here. Maybe this gift that you didn't think was yours is exactly yours to give.